All right, take your Bible tonight, if you would, please, and turn to Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter number 6, and just want to share a message that the Lord laid on my heart this week as I was reading through this area, this passage. Nehemiah chapter number 6. I think it goes without saying that the TVs are not always going to be sitting out like that. They will quite often once we start doing announcements, and they may eventually just stay that way once we get used to them. But any of you kids that decide that that's a backboard and you're going to see how high you can jump, I've never done this in 15 years and 2 months of pastoring. I've never done this. I'm going to whip you, and then I'm going to go tell your parent that you did it, and I'm going to say, was that okay if I whipped them? So anyhow, all right, parents, don't tell them the truth. Just leave it at that. They need to think I will. So you wouldn't spank my kid. I wouldn't do that. That wouldn't be right. The days of teachers being able to send us to the orange doors or the red doors or the yellow doors at the elementary school and beat our little heinies. That's what's wrong with the school districts today. You can't beat little heinies anymore. And what's wrong with most kids is there's some big heinies that need to be spanked. And they're in their 20s and 30s and 40s. Is that an amen? You got a contribution? He's the discipline, one of the disciplined men. They still spank, just not enough. Yeah. So, anyhow, do they spank? They still spank him at Quinlan there, Morgan? Yeah. I don't know. I haven't been in the elementary school here in a long time. They used to have the red doors, the yellow doors, the orange doors, and the more doors. They had four doors. It was either go to yellow, go to orange, go to red, or go to the Greg Moore door. And it's named after him. So, anyhow, Nehemiah chapter 6, and we'll read three verses here. Verse 1, that came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come and let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono, but they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? And I want to preach tonight on this question. Is there a breach in the wall? Is there a breach in the wall? Let's pray. Lord, would you bless our time together tonight here for a little while? I pray that this message will be a challenge to us. Just kind of make us think a little bit here on a Wednesday night. And thank you, Lord, for being good to us. And we'll ask you to bless in Jesus' name. Amen. The story of Nehemiah is a story, Brother Joe, that may be a little loud. It seemed like it got loud all of a sudden when I was reading a minute ago. But the story of Nehemiah is a story of a group of people working together to rebuild the city walls surrounding Jerusalem. It would be as if, and by the way, the city walls are there today. If you went to Jerusalem, you would see some of the walls, the old walls around the city. But it would be as if you were to put a tall stone wall all the way around Will's Point. That way you could defend the city against any kind of enemy trying to come inside of the city. Now, that's what the story of Nehemiah is about. It's about them going back and rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem that Nebuchadnezzar had torn down and had burned and so forth. But it really, when you think about it and you read through here, it really parallels the story of a church family doing a great work together for God. Now, you'll notice there in chapter 6, you'll notice that the leader, the pastor, usually gets most of the credit from those outside of the church walls. You know, they don't normally say, hey, how's Trent's church doing? Or how's Miss Ogden's church doing? Or how's Brother Joe's church doing? They say, hey, Brother Ogden, hey, Brother Jeremy, hey, how's your church doing? And you know, so a lot of times it's your church. But we know the truth. But it says here in chapter 6 and verse 1, it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall. And so kind of the same idea there is Nehemiah didn't build that whole wall. He was working with them, the Bible says. But, you know, he didn't build that entire wall, but he was kind of getting credit for it, just like a pastor does. Brother Lassiter's church. That's Brother Shane's church. That's Brother Richard Way's church and Brother Dotson's church and so forth. But anyone with sense knows that it takes a bunch of people to get a work done in a
church setting. The Bible says in chapter 2 and verse number 17, "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." This is Nehemiah in chapter 2 and verse 17, trying to challenge the people to get busy building the wall. He said, "Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we may be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." So we realize that a church is not made up of one person or two or three people. And we could go over to Corinthians and see how in 1 Corinthians 12, where it talks about the hand cannot say to the foot, "I have no need of you," and so forth. Everyone is needed in a church setting. And the Bible says that God places members in a church as it pleases Him. Now, the people in Jerusalem completed the rebuilding of the wall in a speedy manner, and they finished the rebuilding of that entire wall around Jerusalem, the Bible says, in just 52 days. Nehemiah was able to say in chapter 6 and verse number 1 that other than the doors that needed to be hung on the gates still, that there was no longer any breach in the wall. There in verse 6, when the enemies heard, I'm skipping, but when the enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left therein. And so in 52 days, the people of God had built the wall back up around Jerusalem the way that God wanted it to be built. And in 52 days, the enemies saw the wall and realized, man, there's no way in. They realized there is no more breach in the wall. In other words, there was no open gap at all in the wall. There was no weak point in the wall. There was no weak link in the wall. The enemy could not attack on any side because everyone had done their part. Now turn to chapter 3 and verse number 1. I want you to see how the wall was built. Chapter 3 and verse number 1. I want you to see how the wall was built here. I can't pronounce all of these names, but we'll chop at it here. Chapter 3 and verse 1. "Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even under the tower of Maah. They sanctified it under the tower of Hananel." Verse number 2. "And next unto him builded the men of Jericho." Follow me now. Verse number 4. "And next unto them repaired Merimoth." Verse number 5. "And next unto them, the Tekoites repaired." Verse number 7. "And next unto them repaired Melatiah." Verse 8. "Next unto him repaired Uzziel." Verse 9. "Next unto them repaired Rephaiah." Verse 10. "And next unto them repaired." And verse 12. "And next unto him repaired." So you see that people are lined up here repairing the wall. In other words, everyone has their section of wall to rebuild. Verse 19. "And next to him repaired Ezra, the son of Jeshua, the ruler of Mizpah, another piece over against the going up to the armory." Verse 20. You see in the middle of that verse, the other piece. Verse 21, you see in the middle of that verse, another piece. Verse 24, in the middle of that verse, you see another piece. Verse 27, after them, the Tekoites repaired another piece. Verse 30, in the middle of that verse, you see another piece. So you see how that everyone was building right next to each other all the way around the wall and just adding piece upon piece upon piece. Now, each of the men on that wall, in each section of the wall, represented a family. The Bible says in chapter 4 there in verse 13, "Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows." They had to begin to, while they were building, defend the wall at the same time because of the enemies. But each name that we cannot pronounce there on the wall, there are many of them in chapter number 3 there, each name represented a family. Now, in a church setting, if the man will be the man that he ought to be and lead his family, then I believe as goes the man, so goes the family. If a wife is right with God, she's going to follow the leadership of her husband, and hopefully it's spiritual leadership, and hopefully they're on the same team, and you don't have to really worry about who's following one another, because it's such a team, there's such unity there, that when Joshua says, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord," Mrs. Joshua says, "You betcha, we sure will." But there needs to be leadership amongst the men in a church. That's why the men sit down with a pastor in a prayer meeting or in a workers meeting or whatever it may be and try to make some decisions for the church. Now, so it should be that way that, you know, if the men will do their part, the family naturally is going to follow and do their part. Now, as you and I and our families gather around the work of God to do it, our goal, our mindset, our challenge to ourselves ought to be this, that there will be no breach in the section of this wall known as Trinity Baptist Church. There will be no breach where Ogdi is working. My family will not be the weak link on this wall. My family will not be the missing piece on this wall. My family will not leave a gap on the wall of the work of God at Trinity Baptist Church. Let me give you four thoughts briefly here in the next 10 minutes or so. Four thoughts that I hope will kind of make you think, hope to challenge you a little bit. Number one is this. And I know it's Wednesday night, but number one is this. Get your family on the wall. Get your family on the wall. If you go back and read all of those names, and they say, "Let's rebuild this wall all the way around Jerusalem, this massive wall. We've got a work to do for God." And the same at Trinity Baptist Church. We have a work to do for God. And the reason they got it done in 52 days is because there were so many people willing to get on the wall. Now, folks, Jesus is coming back. And if you pay attention to the world around us, it's got to be soon that Jesus is coming back. We don't have much time. And the night cometh when no man can work. And so we've got to get busy about the work of God. So, number one, get your family on the wall. There's a gap at Trinity Baptist Church with your name on it. And by the way, you may be a family of husband and wife. You may be just a man, just a lady. You may be just a teenager here and your parents aren't in the church. But God got you here for a reason and you matter to Trinity Baptist Church. There's a gap with your name on it. Next to him, built Ogdi. Next to him, built Snyder. Next to him, built Orms. Next to him, built Kettner. Next to him, built Moore. Next to him, built Nielsen. Next to him, built Mason. Next to him, built Warden. Next to him, built Schuford. Next to him, built Smith. See, the Bible says in Ezekiel 22 and verse number 30 that God was looking for a man to stand in the gap, and the gap is the breach. And God was looking for a man to stand in the gap. Unfortunately, in those days, the Bible says he found none. Now, God's looking for every member of Trinity Baptist Church to stand on the wall, to get in your gap and to do a work for God. Get your family on the wall of faithful church attendance. Say, "My family is going to be in church on Wednesday night. My family is going to be in Sunday school at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. My family is going to be in church Sunday morning at 11 and Sunday night and revival meeting." Hey, get your family on the wall of service. Get involved somewhere. It doesn't have to be teaching or singing or preaching. There are many things that can be done. Just keeping the trash during the winter months out of the yard, out of the parking lot of Trinity Baptist Church. Everything matters to God. Get your family on the wall of service. Hey, get your family on the wall of soul winning and passing out tracts and inviting others to church. Get your family on the wall of supporting the church financially with your tithes and say, you know, my family is not going to be the weak link here at this church financially. And then I thought I'd throw this in there since it is Missions Emphasis Month. I hope all of us will get on that wall of supporting missionaries and say, listen, if our church, I want our church to be maxed out, but I don't want our church to be limited because my area, because the Ogdi area of the wall is a weak link when it comes to missions giving. I don't want our church and our pastor to worry, not worry. I don't consider myself a worry person, but I don't want my preacher to be stressed with the church finances and to know that my family is one of the weak links in the gap. I don't want everybody around the church to serve the Lord and my family to be a weak link there in the gap. So get your family on the wall. Secondly is this. Make your section a strong place. What did Nehemiah say there in chapter 6 and verse 1? He said there was no breach. There's no gap. There's no weak link. So my challenge to all of us tonight, by whatever last name we go by, is don't be the weak link in the church. Don't be the weak link in your church attendance. Don't be the weak link in your giving. Don't be the weak link in your area of ministry. God doesn't just give us an area of ministry just to have a title. He gives us an area of ministry to work. When is the last time that you visited someone in your Sunday school class? When is the last time that maybe you had a little extra time and found a few new extra potential riders on a church bus? When is the last time that you put some extra effort into practicing for a song that you were going to sing at church or a song that you were going to play at church? I'm just saying to you, let's get on the wall. Let's make sure our family's up on that wall. If our name is on the church roll, that we're on that wall, and let's make sure that we say that section right there, that Ogden section of the wall right there, there's not going to be a breach right there. There's not going to be a gap. There's not going to be a weak link. Don't be weak in your area of ministry, whatever it may be. We'll do everything out in the world with all of our energy and attention, but then at church we'll let our family section of the wall be a weak point. But yet Ecclesiastes 9:10 tells us, I'm not quoting word for word, but I'm not going to turn there. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And so the challenge is four things. Number one, make sure your family's on the wall. Say, man, I'm going to be a part of this thing, and I'm going to be a faithful part of this thing, an integral part of this thing, and my name is right there, and there ain't going to be a gap right there. Say, secondly, I'm going to make sure that my area has no breach, that there's no weakness in that area. So you're on the wall, and you picture a large circle, or even this box here, and you picture the names, Ogden and Orms and Nielsen and Schufert and Snyder and Wagner, and you picture them all the way around the room. You picture your area, and you picture the Holy Spirit of God walking the aisles of this church and looking for the weak links. And you know, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I don't care what they say about Ogden. They can criticize the way we come across or whatever. They ain't a whole lot of weak links in that name, because it's full of faithful people. And so I don't want my name to be known as you know, trouble in a church or a weak link in a church or, you know, that kind of stuff. So let's get on the wall, but then let's make sure that our area of the wall is a strong place, that there is no breach where the name Ogdi is. Here's the third one, and the fourth one's simple and we'll be done. Here's the third one, and this is kind of extra that I want you to think about, I want you to consider. And that is this, number three, help out on other sections of the wall. Help out on other sections of the wall. Now, I notice that many of us get tunnel vision. In other words, this is what we see. Okay? We see our area. We see our area of ministry. And we don't really see much further than what we're doing. We're very faithful at what we do. So I'm not criticizing that, and I'm not getting on to you tonight. We preached a while back on giving. I forget what it was. I think it was gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's what it was. On some of us are not good at giving in the sense of, you know, some people just see the need of others, and they're always bringing clothes to kids, and they're doing things for other people. But some of us, we want to be a blessing. We're just not as good at kind of seeing what somebody needs. That kind of applies right here, and that is this. Most of us in this room are very faithful at what we do, but we rarely reach outside of our own section of the wall. This is my class. This is my bus. This is my office work. I do the nursery. I do the cleaning. I do this. I run the van. I do the yard work. And thank God for what we do. Let me give you an example. Now, if I announce from the pulpit, hey, guys, Thursday night at 7 o'clock, we're having a work day, 9 out of 10 of the guys in the church will be here. And we've got good workers, so they're not getting on to you. This is just something to think about. But I constantly sit in the men's prayer meetings, and from the pulpit, I constantly am saying stuff like this. Man, I just want to get those security cameras up. Man, one of these days, I'm going to get those security cameras up.
Well, we got to do something with the projectors. Man, we need to do some texturing job upstairs. Hey, the church sign sat there broke for 6 weeks. 6 weeks, not one man approached me about it except to say, the church sign is broke. Here's what I'm saying. I can announce from the pulpit or in the men's prayer meeting, I could say, man, stinking toilet in the Sunday school building is broke. And we need to get some texture put in upstairs. But we need some carpet clean. And we're going to try to get some TVs up. And do you know who I hear from? Joe Parker. But last time I checked, I have 5 deacons. Last time I checked, we have 5 advisory board members. I'm not getting on to you. What I'm saying is, if you're like me, it's like, I heard what he was saying, but I don't really think about. Folks, I noticed at my house today, I ran home and changed clothes. I noticed at my house today, I've got a pipe that just, during the winter month, it pulls apart. So it wants to leak there. And I've got to put a rubber hose on it to where it can be flexible. I need to fix that one day. I need to level my house while it's cold so I don't have any interaction with snakes during the spring underneath my house. We've got some painting we'd like to do. I'm not saying don't do those things. I'm saying let's not let the house of God lie waste and wait for the pastor to specifically say, all right, Saturday at 10 o'clock. You know who I hear from? I could say, upstairs we've got an office. We got some carpet that needs to be cleaned. Man, there's a toilet that needs to be fixed. Man, the church sign is out. Man, we're trying to get a projector or TV or something. You know who I hear from? I don't normally do this, so if you get mad, you get mad. But I usually hear from when it comes to something outside of our normal areas. And now I hear from all of you when it comes to something to do specifically with Sunday school or office or bus or nursery. It's specific, and we talk about it, and that's great. Thank God. I'm just trying to encourage all of us. Let's look outside the sections, our section of the wall every once in a while. I hear from Joe Parker. I hear from Stacey Orms. I hear from my wife. I hear from Misty Wagner. I hear from Debbie Schufert. I hear from Trent Orms. I hear from Sarah Ogdy. I hear from Joshua Ogdy. Now, I know I take a chance at leaving somebody off of that tonight. I'm just saying to you, it's always the same ones. And why is it so many ladies saying, who's going to clean that carpet? Preacher, I don't know what I'm doing, but I can help you fix that light. The ballast is fixed back there. That thing's been blinking for 3 or 4 weeks. It's not longer than that. I'll walk in, I'll look at it, and I'll say, I'm going to get to that one day. Now, I know you pay me, and I know I have a lot going on, and I try to stay busy. I'm not going to put it the way I was going to put it. I know I'm the head around here, but I'm not the around here. I will put it that way. All of us ought to find something to do. Hey, when you walk into church, you notice the lights are blinking. Miss Orms called me the other day. She said, Preacher, the lights out in the foyer. I said, I know. I noticed it on Sunday. I guess nobody else noticed that. Tunnel vision. Yeah, sure, you noticed it. Some people noticed it. She noticed it. Before she even called me or texted me, what she did, she said, I've already changed the bulbs out in it, but that didn't work. She could have easily called me and said, Preacher, it's out. Left me a note, Preacher, it's out. And that would be fine. That's fine to do. It's fine for anybody to do. We need to know if something's broken. The challenge tonight is just in that area. Just help out on other sections of the wall. Some of you go overboard in your area. But there's been a lot of work going on at the church in the last couple of months. I screamed and shouted about, man, we got to get security cameras up. Man, I'd love to get those security cameras up. Man, I'd like to run those security cameras one day. I can't remember anybody ever saying, Preacher, if you ever get to the place you're going to run those cables, give me a call. I don't remember anybody ever saying that. Hey, here's what you'll normally get from me. If you go out of here tonight and you say, Preacher, when are you gonna fix that mower? I'll say, you know, not sure yet, but I'll call you when I do. Because I don't always know how a schedule's going to go or whatever. I'm just saying most of us are very good at right here. And that's enough because some people don't even do that. But why is it there's a handful of people that are always, always, they're not just right here. It's like, how do you folks have time to want to do this? And how do you fit this in? And not, you've done enough. And you've, my sister-in-law called me the other day and said, I can shampoo that carpet. I said, you're pregnant, woman. You don't need to shampoo in a carpet. She said, oh, it's fine. I don't have to lift stuff and whatever. And then Ms. Orms and Ms. Schubert already talked about doing it. And I said, well, you are doing stuff all the time extra. I said, well, if Misty wants to do it, we'll let her do it. You say, you're lifting folks up. Give honor to whom honor is due. It's an example of helping out on other sections of the wall. So, just kind of look beyond. Just every once in a while, look outside of the bus ministry. And there's a lot of other work going around here besides just bus stuff. Every once in a while, look outside of your Sunday school class and your decorations and your roll sheet and your pretty stickers and all that and say, you know what? There might be some plants around here that need to be dusted or hey, if they're cleaning out a storage building, what's preacher doing up here at 8 o'clock every time I drive by? I like to work like the rest of you. But I tell you what fires me up the most is when somebody says, preacher, when are you putting those TVs up? Oh, I don't know yet. Maybe Monday, maybe Tuesday. Call me when you do. Joe said Sunday night, preacher, I can do that texture stuff. I said, hey, maybe me and you together, we can figure it out. It may not look the best, but we'll get it done one way or the other. Then we decided to do the TV, and I said, Joe, let's get the TVs finished. Let's go to the texturing later on. I can ask folks, and there's not many people in here that would turn me down. I'm just trying to say some of us probably should learn to, there's other things going on besides just our house and our life and our little area, and Haggai chapter 1 says that. Be careful about it being all about what's going on in your life right now, because there's a whole world of life still going on. We have to balance it all. So get your family on the wall. Most are. Make your section a strong place and say, right here, you don't have to worry about this name right here. But then help out on other sections of the wall. When you see there's a need over here and somebody else's, another project's going on, don't just say, well, this is mine over here. Say, Ben, what can I do? I may not know much about that area, but what can I do to help you on that project? Just learn to listen. So we ought to specifically ask. Sometimes we can't. Sometimes it's just, man, I wish we could get to this, and I wish we could get to that, and I wish we could get to that, and I wish we could get to that. And so many things we want to do. But if one family or one guy or one lady would say, I can get to that, and somebody else hears me say that in a prayer meeting and says, I can get to that, and somebody else says, I could get to that, and we all sacrifice a little bit of what we could spend elsewhere, it's always a sacrifice, then there'll be no breach. A lot of things will be accomplished. So get your family on the wall. Make your section a strong place. Help out on other sections of the wall. And then the last one is don't come down off the wall. Don't come down off the wall. And that's what Nehemiah said. I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it? Why should the work cease while I take a break and take a nap? We've got a work to do for God, whatever it is that the Lord wants us to do in our area ministry. And as the song says, and we sing it with the young people every once in a while, keep on the firing line. Keep on the firing line. Don't take yourself off the wall. So evaluate your family tonight. Where are you? Are you a strength? Are you a weakness? And teenagers, are you a strength? Are you a weakness? But then let's learn to look around and say, man, if somebody else got something going on at the church, I want to see if there's something I could do to maybe help them with that. It's not just about me preaching each week. There are a million other things we could be doing to help each other. I still got to come back to the preaching, and I've got to take care of pastoral duties the best I can. But man, I could, if I find out you're up here doing something, if I can put a hand in that project and help you a little bit, I've got no problem with it at all. So just learn to look around a little and see what else you can do. Men, we're all tired. We're all tired. I know some of you work 50 and 60 hours a week, and I understand that whips you, especially during the summertime. But we're all tired. I think all the ladies in here are tired. You got all the yard birds running around. You're tired. But faint yet pursuing, all right? Let's continue to pursue new projects, new thoughts, but let's get involved in it together. Let's pray. Lord, would you bless our time tonight, our invitation, and help us, Lord, to evaluate where we are and what we're doing, our area on the